Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Double Jeopardy Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 13, 2016, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Puerto Rico v. Sanchez-Vale. Sanchez-Vale was charged by Puerto Rico prosecutors with the illegal sale of weapons and ammunition without a license in violation of Puerto Rico law. While that charge was pending, he was indicted by a federal grand jury for the same offense, based on the same facts, under federal law. He pled guilty to the federal indictment, but sought dismissal of the Puerto Rico charges on double jeopardy grounds, arguing that Puerto Rico is not a separate sovereign. The Supreme Court of Puerto Rico agreed, but the Commonwealth appealed. The question now before the U.S. Supreme Court is whether the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and the federal government are separate sovereigns for purposes of the Double Jeopardy Clause of the United States Constitution. To discuss the case, we have Scott Broyles, who is professor at Charlotte School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Broyles.
Is Puerto Rico a mere territory under the sovereignty of the United States, or is the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico sovereign in a manner similar to the United States here in America? That's the question that the court entertained in oral argument in the case Puerto Rico v. Sanchez-Vale. And that was the question before the court, and there is a narrower legal question, more specific to the case, which is whether Puerto Rico may try under its criminal law two men charged with illegal gun possession when those two men have already been tried for the crimes under the United States law. If Puerto Rico is sovereign, it may do so, but if not, then the Fifth Amendment's Double Jeopardy Clause forbids a second trial. In essence, the Double Jeopardy Clause established that an individual cannot be tried for the same crime twice under the same sovereign. But as the oral argument before the United States Supreme Court demonstrated, this narrower issue is dwarfed by the much more metaphysical and momentous question about Puerto Rico's status as a sovereign state. With this far bigger question of what constitutes political sovereignty dominating the justices' attention, the oral argument often sounded more like a graduate school class discussion about Aristotle's Politics than a typical legal debate. Still, there are serious practical questions involved as well, such as Puerto Rico's ability to restructure its bonds using bankruptcy law, and that will come before the United States Supreme Court later this year, and this decision will have, in all likelihood, significant bearing on that. Puerto Rico currently enjoys the status of a commonwealth and is considered a United States territory, subject to Congress's authority under Article IV's Territory Clause, which states that, quote, Congress shall have power to make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory belonging to the United States, close quote. But it is also the case that Congress delegated to Puerto Rico the authority to enact a Republican Constitution. In 1952, Puerto Rico did just that, and the United States Congress and President subsequently approved Puerto Rico's Constitution. Counsel for the two men charged with gun possession maintained that this delegation of power by the United States Congress was just that, a delegation of power, not an establishment of sovereignty, and that Puerto Rico remains a United States territory subject to the sovereignty of the United States. As a result, they cannot be prosecuted or tried a second time under the Double Jeopardy Clause, or so their argument goes. Thus, the puzzling question before the United States Supreme Court, can a nation state be both a mere territory and a political entity that also enjoys true sovereignty. Can they do both of those at the same time? Or can they be both of those at the same time? Perhaps Puerto Rico becomes something like a United States state enjoying that curious form of dual sovereignty our states enjoy. For historical and practical reasons, however, this seems unlikely. Those contending for true sovereignty point to the words of the Puerto Rican Constitution itself. Its opening paragraph is modeled after the United States Constitution and also begins with the words, we the people. It goes on to declare that, quote, we understand that the democratic system of government is one in which the will of the people is the source of public power, close quote. This would suggest that the true source of authority or of sovereignty is the Puerto Rican people, not the Congress of the United States. This surely is the argument of the United States Declaration of Independence and its statement that all men are created equal, as the principle supporting the right to self-governance and ultimate political authority. But if this is what Puerto Rico truly wants and claims, it would seem necessary to alter their status with the United States from that of a mere territory and embrace sovereignty that is the birthright of a Republican people. For the present, the members of the United States Supreme Court appear uncertain of the proper definition of sovereignty. Perhaps they should ask the people of Puerto Rico what they meant by placing sovereignty in their own hands. In the end, this may be as much a political question as a legal one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.